Welcome to Building 72, the podcast brought to you by the Entertainment Arts and Engineering Program at the University of Utah. Thank you for joining your hosts, Adam Hunter and Corinne Lewis, to talk about the video game industry and, you know, probably other stuff.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Building 72, the podcast from University of Utah's EAE program. I am Adam Hunter. I am the EAE's Industry and Alumni Relations Manager. And with me, as always, is Corinne Lewis, who is our undergrad director and all-around awesome professor and all sorts of stuff. But in addition to that awesomeness, we also have an additional awesome guest with us today named Kyle Chittenden. And I will let him introduce himself and tell you what he's all about.
Sure, putting me on the spot here. Hi, my name is
Boom. Sorry, Kyle.
That's how we roll.
Yeah, my name is Kyle. I am an animator at Certain Affinity. I have worked at places, previously worked at Harmonix, working on Rock Band VR, Rock Band, and Super Beat Sports for the Switch. And now I'm at Certain Affinity over here in Austin, and we are working on Halo right now.
I wasn't sure if you were doing Halo or Call of Duty, so.
Halo.
Nice.
Yep. Halo of Duty. It's a cross-universe. All right. So Kyle, we have a bunch of our students, as you know, having gone through the program, art is kind of the thing, right? Everybody loves art. Everybody loves to be artists and everything like that. And we have a lot of questions from our students, some of which are specifically regarding animation and some of which are regarding art just kind of in general.
Okay.
And so one thing that I have... right out of the gate with past artists I've worked on and animators that I've worked on. Do you feel that in animation, is there enough at an average size studio, is there enough work and staff load that an animator can just be an animator? Or is it a good idea for animators to also know how to rig or also know how to texture or also know additional things like that?
Yeah, that's a good question and something I've been kind of thinking about a lot within the past years. I'd say in an average size studio, you might have maybe one or two people who are just animators, just plain animators, don't know anything else. And that's what they do. And they're going to be your heavy hitters for animation. The smaller you go, the more people you need to wear more hats. And the bigger you go, the more people who can just be in that, you know, set in that animation realm of, just doing that. So I would say, yeah, if for an average studio, one to two people. But really, nowadays, times are changing. You have to know the engine. It's good if you know rigging. It's beneficial if you know scripting. The more technical knowledge of that you can like get into your brain, the better off you probably are going to be, because those things are all like beneficial regardless. So it kind of dips away. So there's a point where it's like it kind of dips away from being an full animator, because some of that time that you could use to progressing your animation skills would have to be used to learning engines, learning Python, learning whatever. So it's a give or take.
Sure.
But I think in the end, it's beneficial to know as much as you can about as much as possible.
Sure, sure.
Yeah, when you started in our grad program, mm-hmm. we were trying to figure out what to do about technical artists, because mm-hmm. that was absolutely how things were. We could see that there were lots of jobs out there and that there were lots of people who were doing that. And I remember, I don't know if you remember this, Kyle, but I remember us having a conversation like right after you graduated, and you were like, I think I'm supposed to be an animator, not a designer, because I think that you had developed a lot of skills in lots of different ways and through our program. Mm-hmm. And so I think your first job at Eat Sleep Play was as a designer,
right?
If I remember correctly. And it wasn't what you loved, you know?
It was not. Yeah. So I think there's a benefit to knowing everything about as much as possible. I'm not saying I know everything. I mean, like, you know, like
you will eventually, I'm sure.
it's a benefit to know like design.
Right.
Because
right.
as an animator, you'll use what you know about design, and then you can bend it towards, you know, having a better animation because of it. So there's also something to be said about what you're passionate about. Mm-hmm. So always go for that one. So if you really love animation and you hate all the technical stuff, there's no problem in you just going straight animation. There are still jobs out there for that. And there's a lot of jobs out there for that. But if you're curious about anything design related, tech related, anything like that, on top of whatever other art related craft that you have, I would say, you know, dig in and mm-hmm. see what you can learn.
Mm-hmm. So well, Kyle. Oh, sorry. I was going to say, ahead, Kyle's the exact opposite of Laura Warner.
Yes, she is. That's exactly.
She wanted
exactly
to be an animator.
I was just going to say.
Yeah. Okay, sorry. You go for it. I stole your thunder. I'm so sorry.
No. Kyle, do you remember Laura?
I do remember Laura.
So, yeah. You know, we actually just interviewed her, and she started out, she went to like extra school for animation and all those mm-hmm. things. And she realized that she really just wanted to be a designer. So I use you two as an example all the time, because it's like, you just don't know until you get more information about this stuff, right? And I think that's exactly what Eat Sleep Play did for you, because, mm-hmm. and at the time we thought you were, I mean, I'm not saying you were crazy, but we were surprised because everybody wanted to be a designer so much. But you knew. And so I was super excited for you to, when you went to Harmonix, I know you did a lot of really cool stuff, and now you're working on Halo. That's really awesome. So
yeah, it's been a fun journey, but it hasn't been without its pitfalls. And, mm-hmm. but I mean, you learn a lot from those pitfalls, and it's been good. So
for sure. Well, and getting laid off is not easy no matter what, you know?
No. Yeah, that's, I had one of my professors over when I was in Austin doing my mentorship program. They were like, you're not in the game industry until you've been laid off at least twice.
Right.
that's fair.
I've heard that too.
Kind of bleak.
So I wanted to follow up really quickly, because this is actually a question that I kind of have for myself the more that I think about it. I understand how design interfaces with programming a lot and why it's very beneficial for designers to have to know coding and programming and scripting and everything like that. In my head, I'm not being able to make the direct connection between animation mm-hmm. and knowing those additional bits of code, unless it's like procedural animation generation or something like that. Could you fill me in a little bit as to how those line up with each other?
Yeah. So a lot of, at least what I did a lot of last year at CA was scripting. I did a ton of scripting, and that was for animation tools in Maya primarily. That was to make animators other than myself who maybe aren't as like technically capable, or they just want to go straight animation. I would make tools for them to speed up their workflows, to make okay. sure that they can, for example, if you click on a button, it selects all the controls for a character. If you click on a button, it procedurally generates a rig for whatever meshes that you have selected. If you click on a button, you know, like just a button for everything, right? And it might save
you 5 seconds. The make game button.
Yeah, exactly. It might save you 5 seconds. It might save you 5 minutes. It could save you, if I did it right, it could save you like 30 minutes to an hour. So I think that's kind of where it comes into play a lot for animation, is those Maya tools that can help an animator out a lot. And a lot of those tools you can buy online, but some of them need to be specially made for the projects that you're working on.
Sure.
So that's kind of where it helped a lot.
So are you doing that more as you have been promoted? They know you have those skills, and so you get tasked with those kinds of things. Do you wish you were just animating, or is that fun?
I think it's great. I think it's so much fun.
Good.
Yeah, and I think that directly correlated to my promotions almost. Mm-hmm. Me learning all of this other stuff. I know how to rig, I know how to script, I know how to animate, and I know how to work in the engine. I think all of those combined helped me get to where I am right now. Now I'm not saying that I knew all those back when I was a student. I only knew animation, and I made maybe a little bit of getting into the engine, maybe the slightest bit of rigging. But over the years, you just kind of grow and you change and try to learn as much as you can. And that's what people will grow in different ways, and people will kind of tend to grow where they're most passionate about. And my passion was animation, And when I was super frustrated with a problem of animation, I was like, I don't want to do this 1,000 times. What can I do to make this easier? And then went to scripting, and then CA saw that and they're like, great, can you do all this other stuff too? Sure. And it was kind of off to the side. I'm not going to claim that I'm a tech animator or a professional tech animator or anything like that, but they were just things that could help myself and also others around me to make their jobs easier.
Well, you have, I mean, I've known you for a long time. You have always embraced education, and what education ultimately does is teach you how to teach yourself. Hmm. So, you know, it just gives you a kind of a scaffolding around how to do that. So I didn't know how to speak Spanish, but I went through this whole Spanish thing and now I know how to speak Spanish or Japanese or whatever, you know? So it's like you get some practice doing that. And then out in the real world, I mean, very few of us are in academics forever, right? So it makes sense to, you know how to do that, which actually makes a lot of sense to me why you are now teaching. Mm-hmm. So I think that, 'cause you can see how that those connections are made. And I think that's great. And that just makes you a better employee. I mean, it's certainly why the game industry likes people with bachelor's degrees, at least, you know?
Yeah, I agree. Like, I think education is way, way important. Just for, even if it is like just teaching yourself what you said, and also group activities is so important to know how to work with others.
Right.
Like, game design, really. Could attribute every single problem in the gaming industry to communication. That's literally it. Every single problem is attributed to communication. So.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, and I think that's kind of in lots of places in our lives that causes problems, not just our jobs.
Right.
Let's turn a little bit to how did you decide you wanted to be an artist? It certainly, you know, there's a difference obviously between fine art and production art. And did you start out wanting to be a fine artist, or did you think you wanted to, I mean, tell us how you got here.
Yeah, I got here because of a game that Hideo Kojima made called Metal Gear Solid, really.
Fair enough.
I played that when I was 14, and after I played that game, it was such a mix between movies and movies and games, right? Just smash into each other. And after I played that, I was like, wow, I really want to like be in one of these two mediums. So I actually started in high school, I started to kind of build my film career. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to be an editor at first, a film editor. And that's what I was doing all throughout high school, and then came college, and that's what I was in. I was in the film department strictly for being an editor. So I had no, like, I knew games were a big part of my life. So I'm like, oh, okay, I want to try some classes out. Because if there is something that I love, I want to make sure that it's, you know, that I know about it. So throughout college, I was on my track to being an editor. But on the way, I was picking and choosing all of these classes that were in our game program. So modeling, texturing, rigging, and, you know, scripting. We had those coding classes that, you know, are kind of core curriculum. So I wanted to find something if I wasn't going to be an editor. But I knew that none of those were hitting the blocks if I had to do that thing 8 hours a day. Like, would I love rigging for 8 hours a day? Well, I like rigging, but I don't know if I want to do 8 hours a day. Would I want to do coding? Same thing. Everything was like that. Until the last class, literally the last class of like game design. So you can have like design, rig, script, tech, whatever. And that last class was animation. I was like, okay, let's try it. And I loved it. I absolutely loved it. And it was at that point, which was really good timing, because at that point I was starting to get burned out of film too. Mm-hmm. It was a really good just kind of like crossroads switch. And that was halfway through college. And then ever since then, I wanted to be an animator. So really I've wanted to be in the media field since I was 14, since that game. Mm-hmm. But I didn't know exactly which field it was until maybe halfway through my college life. And that's because I was just trying out different things throughout that whole time.
So you had never animated before that class?
Nope.
Oh, wow.
Nope.
That's really good to hear, because a lot of students, not a lot, but some students will come up to me and they'll be concerned. They'll say, I'm worried that I'm already, like, even though I'm in my undergrad, I'm too late. Like, the people who are going to get ahead are the people who are doing this in junior high and doing this in high school.
Nope. You're never too late. Go and do it. And just, like, start it now, because, you know, if you're not going to do it now, then you're not going to do it ever. Start now. Why not?
You get one life.
Yeah, exactly. YOLO, whatever.
Right. Well, and let me just say, though, Adam, Kyle is one of the hardest workers of all time that I've ever met. So when he decided that he really wanted to get into something, he like dove, you know, like Assassin's Creed off of a very high point. You know, luckily there's usually hay at the bottom.
Yeah.
But it's, I think that that's what helped with that. You know, we say for artists, especially like concept artists, I think it's harder if you haven't been drawing your whole life. I mean, it's just, you need to have all those, that 10,000 hours or whatever it is, but you put in the 10,000 hours.
I put a lot of work outside of class.
Yes.
There's that. Yeah.
For sure.
But well, and you can tell like that you're a very passionate person. Like you even mentioned, you said, you know, do what you love. You can tell that just through talking to you. And that's something that I think the people who are really into what they're doing, you only need to have a 5-minute conversation with them before you can figure out if this is something that they care about and it's something like that's a part of them, or if it's something that they just do. Like, yeah, that's my job that I do.
Right. Yeah. I do know some people like that. I'm like, why are you doing your job if you don't love it? Like, I get it. Money's a thing, but there's like different avenues that you can start to hit that, what you want to do.
You know, I think that's been honestly a change. And I mean, let's give the baby boomers their due, right? Because they are the ones that actually started changing our culture, because it wasn't like that before. It's like your dad was a farmer, you were a farmer. Your dad was a shoemaker, you were a shoemaker, I think. I think that a huge group of people trying to figure out how to do things differently, which is also why I think that's happening even more now, because we get all the millennials, right? Who, you know, it's like, I want to do something that I care about. Maybe care about is make money, but you know, that's a huge part of why games, I think, is growing, is because people want to spend time doing something, and we have more leisure time, you know, so games are, there's lots more time to play games.
Yes. So
this may be an unfair question to ask you, as we've just talked about how you're a hard worker and you're passionate in it and everything like that, but do you find, especially now that you've been doing games for 5 years outside of college, do you find that your passion for art as a side thing, are you so caught up with working that you've either faded or lost your passion for art, or has it had the opposite effect and it's just increased it, or how is doing something that you love all day every day affected your love for it?
I see. Okay. Yeah, I would say it depends on the project I'm on. The more stressful the project, the less creative I feel after work. Right. So like if I work on something and it's very stressful, the last thing I want to do is work on something that's similar to it after work. I on those days, I just want to go and sit down and watch Netflix or go and skateboard or go and play soccer or whatever, you know. However, if it's a project that I really care about and I'm just drawn to it and I love it all the time, then I find myself working a lot outside of work just on personal projects more. So I think it all kind of comes down to the environment and how, like, what's going on around you during that specific time, whether that be the people that you're working with, the project that you're on, what's going on in your life. If you find yourself a little bit happier and less stressed and frazzled, then at least for me, like, it's been, that's what's motivated me to keep the creativity flowing.
I think that's actually a really astute connection that you're making there, because I, you know, as a writer, when I'm just writing emails and not, you know, like my day job is kind of stressful and stuff, I have no like my creative well is not full. But when I'm working on something new or, you know, doing all this like other stuff, I do start to turn my attention to writing again, like my own writing. So yeah. I feel like that's very similar because I hadn't thought about it like that before. Because you'd think that it would just make you tired, like even more tired because you're putting all your energy into something else. But I don't think that's how the creative process works exactly.
Yeah, I don't think so either. I think it's like if you're happy and passionate, then it kind of just keeps going. Mm-hmm. But the opposite effect goes too.
Yeah, so. For sure. You know, our students always ask us to ask about crunch. I mean, you're working on, you worked on a wide variety of projects. You worked on AAA, you've worked on, you know, very small things all over the VR.
Yeah.
So have you, I saw you crunch in school, so I know what that is. Mm-hmm. Even though we told you not to. But how have you seen things change, or what do you think about that right now?
Yeah, I think that also depends on the company. I think for the overall, I've seen things change as far as outspokenness about crunch. A lot of articles you read on Kotaku or other media articles that dive into the games business will kind of pinpoint these crunch factors for certain games, usually high profile games. And they'll be like, these employees are being overworked. So I think like the outspokenness, the overall like effect that people can share about their crunch lives has been more broad spectrum. Mm-hmm. But as far as like the gaming industry, I also think it has had a bigger sweep in the gaming industry, and I see less places crunching because of that. However, there are still gonna be those places where you kind of know, like, that's what you're getting into. And they, a lot of them, at least from what I hear from friends and everything that have worked at all these places, will kind of say, you're doing this crunch, but at the end of it, you're gonna get some sort of bonus. So, or they expect that, right? And a lot of times they do get a bonus, but is it worth it? I don't know. It's not for me to decide, but, as far as like the culture of crunch, I think it's been alleviated slightly. I think people are being more outspoken about it. But it's still there. So.
Yeah. I feel like I wish people could choose that, you know, right. Instead of
being in their contract
required or something. I mean, not even the contract, but more like, okay, I'm really going to get paid time and a half or something for all this stuff. And I know that, you know, I mean, Disney Interactive here had lots of crunching. And I know that now that, you know, they've changed that culture. They very deliberately changed that because they saw that it was burning people out. And so I agree with you that from what I'm hearing from people too, but there are always going to be those companies that are willing to really push hard on that. And I always think it's bad planning, but that's me. I'm a planner, you know? So it's like, I just think if the producers are doing their job correctly, you don't have to crunch like that. You have to hurry at points, but it doesn't have to kill people. So.
Yeah. I haven't been able to find the exact pinpoint. I know that planning is a huge part of it. It's just, yeah, sometimes it's just feature creep. Sometimes people are just, you know, pie in the sky attitudes. So yeah, I guess it is just planning. But yeah, I don't necessarily want to put it all on the producers, I would say.
Well, my experience is student teams. So it's like, I know that's what that is.
That's fair. That is fair.
But it's so funny. When I have, you know, I get to talk to alumni, not enough. I would talk to you guys all day long if I could, because I miss everybody, but that's what I hear. So it's like, oh, this was just like school.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a lot of it is just mismanagement and miscommunication.
So. Communication. Who knew?
Communication.
one of the saddest moments of my professional career was having to crunch a ton on a game that was just the most like garbage, worthless game on the, and so like, at least if you're crunching and then you're like, this was, you know, Halo, or this is God of War, like, this is something awesome that I'm at least proud of it. Right. This is like, yeah, I worked super hard and this game sucks.
Yeah, if it was opt-in, that would be a lot better. And if you knew what you're crunching for and what you'd be kind of rewarded with, that would be 10 times better. But yeah. You never do.
No. I don't know why that is. I don't. Maybe I should start a game company. I don't know.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Definitely. Yeah. Or at least a game.
We got an animator right here.
And we got two writers.
Also script.
There you go. Two writers and a technical animator. What more do you need for a game studio?
That sounds like an IGDA winner.
Kyle, how do you see, since you've been in school to now, and then as it goes, you've mentioned about wanting to always kind of learn new things and everything. How do you see technology and specifically as it surrounds game art going in the future? Is there going to be a lot more AI involved? Mm-hmm. Is there going to be a lot more outsourcing as far as like the grunt work? Like, how do you see all that going?
It's funny because that same question came up like 10 years ago when I was still in school. And they were like, what is mocap going to do to the industry, right? Turns out it was just me.
More ping pong balls.
More ping pong balls, yeah. Turns out it didn't really do much. We still need animators and we need mocap animators now. Now in the future when things are 100% like AI procedural, there will always be a need for a human eye, a human touch for animation, I think, at least within our lifetimes. Because if we want to make stuff that's appealing to us, maybe this will happen. It's possible. If we want to make stuff that's appealing to us, then we need like a human connection to it. And that kind of connection always changes depending on the trend, depending on the time. So what happens is like we always want somebody who has a human eye on this animation or this asset or this thing, this movement, because that's going to draw whatever's the end thing right now. And I don't ever see that changing. I see that getting easier. Mm-hmm. And I see a lot more people being able to do it easily. But to make it good and to make it polished, I think we're always going to need someone there. It's not going to be a computer.
I think the tools are getting better, but that means you're just having to learn, you know, more advanced skills quicker.
Right.
Because lots of people can do crappy work, right?
Yeah. It's like similar to like how these Unreal engines are getting, you know, like they promoted this new Unreal 5 that you can have infinite amount of polygons in it. It's like, great. You know, you don't have to worry about optimization for polygons, for poly count anymore. It's not like that's going to change the job necessarily.
You still have to model an environment. Still have to model it. So,
that sounded to me like, okay, so you don't have to edit anything anymore.
Right, yeah.
And it's like, okay, that doesn't, nah. That's not how that works.
No, carte blanche all the way. That's the only way to go with creativity. It's just full in.
We're just going to be writing in emojis.
Right. Sure. Yeah, I think we'll always have jobs, but I think those jobs will shift.
Yeah. But they kind of should, you know, if the industry grows. I mean, right. Games are still a pretty young industry, so, you know, things are going to change, and I'm excited about that, right? I'm excited about all the independent games that are coming out and what a big impact 10 years of people having gone to school and thinking deeply about games is going to make when we get to those games, you know?
Yeah.
So we have some common friends at 343, and I know Halo, you know, that's, it's going to be a really different thing. And that's exciting. That's super exciting. I can't wait.
I'm excited.
I've got something that's going to sound like a loaded question, and that's because it is a loaded question. So having gone through the program and learning everything you did, mm-hmm. if someone, it's a two-part question. Mm-hmm. Will someone with, let's say they went into animation at the EA program, are they going to have a robust enough skill set that they don't necessarily have to go into games? Like, are they going to be able to, if either they can't find a place that works for them, or if they get interested in something else, are they going to have a robust enough skill set to go elsewhere? With the flip side of the coin being, if someone just gets an art degree, not just an art degree, but if someone gets an art degree, are they going to be suited to go into games if they want to do that after school?
Mm. So is it more of like, will the, if the student gets like a fine arts degree, can they go into gaming? Or if the student gets a gaming degree, can they go into fine arts or something?
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
That's tough. Because gaming is so, it's different than a lot of other industries, but it has a lot of common ties to it. So, for example, we get applicants to our studio who are just based in film, mm-hmm. right? And they just did film animation. But we are commonly saying, well, that's cool, but they don't know anything about the engine at all, yeah. you know? And then, and we need people to know things about the engine. So it's, if we can get like a game animator, like somebody who's been animating for games, it's a lot easier sell for us to get those people, or, you know, to want those people. So I think it's possible. But I don't think it's easy.
I think it's really hard to go. I mean, anybody can be a fine artist, right? So you know, you could be an animator in your day job and write a book on the side, right?
You hear that, fine artist? Anybody can do what you're doing.
No. Well, I mean, I didn't say well. I'm just like, I mean, you know.
Yeah.
Anyway, but I think. It's one of the things that why our program was designed the way it was is because, just like you said earlier, you know, we jokingly say that, you know, we're teaching you how to be on a team, and we're teaching you how to communicate. And this game thing is not, I mean, you get a lot of those skills, but really what we're doing is teaching you stuff that translates all over the place.
Yes.
And I think, but I don't think it, the reverse is true. I think that the, I think it'd be really hard to, my experience is that's why we have a grad program, mm-hmm. because we have people who come in with fine arts degrees that couldn't really make a living, but see that the game industry is available, but they have to come and get those extra skills, like yeah. you said.
Yeah, I think there's core components of any job that will always translate. And I think everything that the EAE program is doing and touting is valid, that those skills will be transferred across the board to something else. I guess what I was saying is the thing that that person would like to do, whether that be art, whether that be animation, whether that be producer, designer, those things probably won't easily translate over to another medium, or maybe as easily as one might think. But as far as the actual core of what you guys are teaching, I think, yes, absolutely. So if that was the question, then sorry.
No. That was actually, because it's always interesting to get people's opinions on that, because some people, like if you ask that question of a producer, they might give a different answer, right? Because they'll be like, no, a lot of this stuff is actually, they call them project managers elsewhere, but it's the same job. So it's always yeah. interesting to see different disciplines' perspective on that question.
Right. I think... Yeah, and that's kind of why I didn't lop in tech there when I was listing out some roles. I think tech can easily find different places. Easily find us different places. I agree with producers too. Project managers are still needed everywhere, from big corporations to small, you know, game industry, you know, indie studios. So, but I think like art, for example, or design even, is a little bit tougher.
Yeah, it's just very focused on yeah. a thing. So, right. yeah. I mean, production art versus fine art, you know, it's that.
Yeah.
But, so when, have you been doing very much interviewing? Are you hiring people, or are you removed from that?
Yeah, I've been doing interviewing.
So the students are always worried about their job prospects. You remember what that's like.
Yeah.
And they, you know, there's, you know, they have a lot of nitty gritty questions about like what should be in my portfolio, which I think is like, that's hard to have blanket statements about that. But what do you feel like can help someone stand out as an artist?
As an artist or as an animator?
Either or both.
Both. As an animator or just artist, if you want to get into the games industry, do games industry stuff. So for example, as an animator, we want to see a lot of cycles.
Mm-hmm.
Run cycles, combat cycles, idle fidgets, everything like that. If you have acting pieces, that's cool. Mm. You know, that's fine. But we like, as far as our company goes, and I know a lot of other companies, they like to see things that they would put in a game. And I think that kind of goes across the board for art. Like any game assets would have to be something that you would want to be able to put into a game. Now, I'm not sure how it is now with Unreal 5 coming out, but before, you know, you would want to optimize your scenes. You'd want to see the wireframe and the mesh and everything like that. Or if you were a concept artist, you'd want to do something a little bit more. Well, actually, concept artists, I'm not going to speak to concept art. That one's a field.
It's own real special thing.
You're on your own, kids. Sorry about that.
I think they can get away with doing an awesome beauty shot and it being cool across the board, but I can't speak to that. But as far as the actual game assets in game, yeah, it's stuff that you would want to see in game is what we're looking for a lot of.
That's super helpful.
So would you recommend if someone is kind of lacking on, like if someone wants to be an animator, but they have more of like the cinematic stuff and fewer of the cycles, I mean, should they carve out time in their schedule and just be like, all right, I'm going to give myself 1 week to figure out what a run cycle would look like. Like, should they give themselves micro projects to help that? Or should they work on bigger games? I guess, should they work on like individual animations to show off, or should they work on a bigger project? Maybe they have graduated and they have other students who want to work on something. What's going to look more impressive there? An actual deliverable, or like, here's some stuff that I was working on, even if it's not contextualized at all?
I would say the if I were to pick between somebody who had assets in a game that might not look as good, but it's within the gaming asset itself, like gaming build itself, or other assets that they've done on their own that look really good, but isn't within the game itself, I would actually pick the assets by themselves. Mm.
Okay.
To be completely honest, yeah. And if they want to be a cinematic animator, then that's great. Like, they can do all of the facial mocap and everything that they want. However, I guess I'm speaking towards gameplay animation.
Yeah.
If you're a cinematic person and you're like, oh, I love all of this film, this cinematography, making dialogue shots, but I want to try to get into game animation, then yeah, definitely start making cycles, run cycles, combat cycles, everything. It's a lot different than what I thought in the past, towards what I see in the industry now. But yeah, it's all about making individual assets that you would be able to put into a game but aren't necessarily in the game. You know?
That makes sense to me, because it seems like the higher quality, the multiple higher quality things can show you the breadth of someone versus one thing in an engine, and they probably can learn how to do that engine part anyway.
Right. It's like, look, I don't need all the lighting. I don't need all the VFX. I don't need it running necessarily in a world that was built by artists. I don't care about any of that. I care about the animation.
Mm-hmm.
And can you make it? And then we'll put it in, you know, but we want to make sure that we have somebody who can make it.
Right.
That's really good to hear, because a lot of artists will come up to me with that concern. They'll say, I have these art pieces, or I want to work on these pieces, but I feel that they're worthless if they're not within the framework of a game itself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I don't think it hurts to throw them in like Unreal Engine. Just chuck them in there and then render something, like just render a video in Unreal Engine, even if it's just like plain flat ground, right?
Yeah.
That shows that you can put it in the engine, and that's also very good. But as far as putting it into a game, like that's not necessarily your job, nor does it need to be, right? Like we have, that's why there are, you know, engineers and producers and designers there to help you with that. But yeah, your job would be animation. And can you do that? And that's kind of what we look for, especially for people who are entering the industry. We want to make sure that they're good animators. Like everything else is icing on the cake, especially later on in their careers. But right now, we just want to make sure that you can animate.
I'm curious to know, how much do you work with do you work with the design team a lot, or like with writers? Are you part of those initial design team things, especially as a senior animator now? Have you been rolled into those kinds of things? That sounds like more fun.
Yeah, I worked with design a lot on the past project in Certain Affinity before I got put onto Halo. That was a lot of fun. Writers, not so much, but our game also didn't have that much narrative.
Is that World of Tanks or something?
it is an unannounced title.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, so I've been lopped into those groups. And it's been fun.
That's cool. Yeah. I wondered about that because I know sometimes artists, you know, you just have tasks and you get your tasks and you do your things and, knowing you, I would think that that would be more fun for you. So
it is. And it's funny because it's kind of just like school. Even in the industry, you'll have studios that are like, do we want feature teams? Are those better? Or should we have like disciplines by themselves? And they are just like, they can, you know, do everything within the discipline and then spread it out to everybody else. Like those questions are still arising even at studios now, like they were in school.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure still are. So yeah.
Every year.
Yeah. It's wild. So, I don't think there's one right answer.
Yeah. I think there's not a right answer. I think it depends on the team, honestly. Yeah. And I mean, the project is important, but I also think it depends on all the variety of skills everybody has, especially in school, you know, so.
Right. Definitely.
So speaking of things that don't have one right answer, a lot of students are wondering about what programs to use. You've mentioned Maya, you mentioned Unreal. My understanding is that Maya is pretty much the industry standard when it comes to that stuff. But what about your experience in the programs that you've either used or that you currently use on a daily basis?
Let's see. So a lot of the programs I use on a daily basis are proprietary. I'm thinking back to my last.
Because you work at a game studio and that's what we do.
Actually really good information because I think sometimes people get so hung up on like, I need to know this, 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 and this. And it's like, okay, Maya, Photoshop, ZBrush, maybe, and Unreal or Unity. That's what we always say. And then you're going to have to figure out how to learn the game.
Whatever tool they've
when
made.
You go. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I would say learn a game engine, whether that be Unreal, Unity, or Lumberyard.
What?
Yeah. I don't know.
Did you just say Lumberyard?
Yeah.
RPG Maker.
Yeah. Learn an engine.
Okay.
Learn a thing that can help you with your skill set. So Maya for animators, you know, ZBrush for modelers, Substance for textures. You know, that goes hand in hand with modelers. You know, learn the program that is, you know, Photoshop for concept artists. That'll help you do your thing. And honestly, other than that, like you don't really need much more. Just focus on what you do after that. Make sure it's good. That's it.
Awesome. Well, we are just about out of time. So one of the things I always want to ask at the end is, do you have any advice for someone who wants to be where you're at today and they're just a few years, you know, behind you?
Sure. Yeah. Yeah, so I love the program. I love the University of Utah's program. And it was with that and a lot of hard work outside of the program is where I got to be today. So like, make sure that you are always striving to do something about what you want to do in the future. So like, always working, always trying to build your craft. That's one part. So 50% of getting a game industry job today, from what I've seen, is doing your craft and doing your craft well, which you'll get with practice. Just practice, practice, practice. So that means in class and out of class, practice. The other 50%, for better or worse, is networking. Now, this can be for better, like again, for better or worse. You might have horrible people who don't know their craft get a job because of networking. You might have great people get a job because of networking. So along with practice comes, don't be a jerk. Just don't be a jerk. That's literally like the only, like that's 50% of getting a job. And being a person that people can rely on and trust and communicate well, and maybe if you really want to go the extra mile, be a friend with, you know, and just like, you know, have parties or drinks or food with. But really,
eventually we'll do that again, right?
Yeah, when you're able, yeah, please be safe. Yeah. But yeah, it's just like all that kind of stems down to just be a likable person that's not a jerk.
It's so funny you say that, because that's, I know so many jerks that I've worked with, and nobody wants to, like, every time it's like, oh, that's blah blah blah's task, it's like, I'll be the one who tells him this time if you tell him next time.
Right. Yeah. So it's just, it's the, because like, if you're a jerk, you're going to get blackballed in the industry. The industry is so small, you're just going to get shot down, and you don't want to limit those chances from the very start.
Right. I literally say that exact same thing, Kyle, all the time. Yeah. I'm like, look, we can teach you a solid set of skills, but you can't be a jerk.
Yeah. That's it. That's
and
literally,
if you, are, if you come into it and you are a jerk, yeah, you change.
Yeah.
So change.
Yep. A lot of the opportunities that I've had were, okay, every opportunity I've had was from networking, mm-hmm, from whether that was a professor helping me get my first job, EasyPlay, whether that was like other peers like Tina or other people that have come to me at other programs, and I've just talked a little bit with them, and then I got jobs at like Harmonix, for example, mm-hmm, to talking with the CEO over here, and that's how I got into Certain Affinity. And then even other prospects in between, like I was talking a lot with Rachel, Liker, well, mm-hmm, now Rachel Witz, Likerwitz, mm-hmm, and talking with like Tony, and it was literally people from my cohort, and more specifically from my team, my individual, yeah, group on my cohort, yeah, mm-hmm, that have been super, super beneficial in my career, and I can't thank them enough, and they are the reasons why I'm here too. So again, that just is pocketed in that don't be a jerk and network side of things.
I think every job I've had in the past 15 years has been because of a contact that I had, or a person who let me know of an opportunity.
Me too. And I have a completely weird job. Oh, yeah. Kyle, thank you so much for doing this. I'm sure our students are just gonna just hang on every word, because this is so helpful for them, and we really appreciate your time so much.
Of course. Yeah, no worries. Yeah.
Kyle's going to be one of the ones that they want like around two with, like, yes. 100%.
Yeah. We'll have to get more time, like in all your spare time.
Yeah. You don't seem like a very busy person. So we'll just like whenever, right?
I would love to meet all the students there. Like I said, I love education. I want to give back. So that's.
Yeah. Well, we'll have you out and maybe have you come and do a talk or something. So that'd be fun.
Yeah, that would be fun.
Okay. Thanks. Okay.